It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, we'll welcome our new contributor, Diego Saldana Rojas, who speaks with the founder of Fort Lauderdale's Flagler Arts and Technology Village, or FAT Village. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our Miami-Dade Arts Calendar features Deborah Margold. Now in its fifth year, the not-for-profit Miami Jazz Co-op has had some impressive successes while continuing to fulfill its mission. They hope to establish a permanent home in South Florida and secure a grand piano to augment their weekly performances. To find out more information, I recently spoke with their co-founder and executive director, Rick Katz. Rick Katz, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thanks for having me, Ed. It's nice to be here.
It's our pleasure. We want to talk about one of the most successful jazz not-for-profits here in South Florida and your wonderful first 5 years. So many great accomplishments. But take us back to 2010 when the Miami Jazz Co-op was first founded. Tell us about those early days. Who helped you bring this to fruition?
Well, the genesis of the Miami Jazz Cooperative really goes back to the 1990s when I was introduced to Joe Donato, who I had been in the audience for probably 20 years listening to Joe, and a mutual friend introduced us in the early 90s. And Joe and I started having conversations about the state of jazz in South Florida and the fact that there weren't any long-term successful jazz clubs. And we started talking about the idea of opening a jazz club as a business. And it didn't take long to realize that there was a reason why none of the clubs had been long-lasting. There's an old joke in the jazz world. How do you make a small fortune in jazz? Start with a large fortune. But the idea of creating a club that was more like some of the great venues in New York City never left us. And then somewhere around 8-9 years ago, we started realizing that, like so many things in the arts, be it opera, theater, dance, outside of New York City, you really need the nonprofit model to make it work.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can get grants and donations and sponsors and all these things that help make the arts work. And so the idea morphed into the idea of starting a nonprofit organization. And our mission really became this idea of establishing a permanent home for jazz in South Florida, where jazz musicians and audiences could come together on a nightly basis and play and hear wonderful jazz. And with some encouragement from Shelley Berg, dean of the Frost School of Music at the University of Miami, in spring of 2010, we pulled together a group of people to talk about forming this nonprofit. Joe Donato, Chuck Bergeron, Gary Keller, Nicole Yarling, Frank Consola. We got together in my dining room, sat around the table, and talked about it. And Nicole Yarling brought up the point, if we're going to create this venue, we need to have a component to our mission for education, to work with kids, which is the real passion of Nicole Yarling's life, is working with young people, young musicians. And that immediately clicked. And we wrote a mission statement, formed the organization, filed with the Internal Revenue Service to get 501c3 nonprofit status. And then we started talking about building some support in the jazz community. And in June of 2010, we sort of set this goal of getting maybe 20, 25 people in the South Florida jazz community to sign on to the organization as founders to give us a broader base of support. Well, that goal of 20 to 25 was very soon exceeded. And about 8 months later, we closed our founder list with 115 South Florida jazz musicians educators and broadcasters, including Ed Bell.
Thank you.
And Tracy Fields, who is now on our board of directors. Mm-hmm. And it's through this broad base of support in the jazz community that the organization has really made tremendous strides over 5 years.
Well, that's a great way to put it. Tremendous strides. The rent parties alone are such a great success. You've had approximately 50 rent parties, which are fundraisers, small fundraisers for you on Mondays, but you've wound up employing so many musicians, and you're spending tens of thousands of dollars to employ South Florida's greatest jazz musicians, so it has a number of effects. So tell me about the rent parties. They take place every Monday, right?
Every Monday night, we present a different jazz act at the Open Stage Club in Coral Gables, 2325 Galliano Street, and it's a wonderful venue with a great sound system and a great ambience. The musicians love it. The audience loves it. The parking is easy. And we put on great jazz there every Monday night. We've been at the Open Stage Club now since last October and absolutely loving our relationship with the ownership there that have really made this a home for us on Monday nights.
Your free Jazz in the Gables concerts have spanned over the course of 5 years, and they are marvelous successes out on the beautiful patio of the Coral Gables Museum.
Yeah, and that's something that we were approached in December of 2010 by the city of Coral Gables to ask if we would partner with them to create this lunchtime jazz series. And we started it in early February of 2011. The first season was such a success. Our very first concert, I remember, was Jesse Jones Jr.
And great place to start.
Great, a wonderful
great
place
guy
to
start with.
And Jesse was amazing. We've learned along the way. We started that concert. We really didn't anticipate how hot it could be in early February, but it was. I remember that first day, it was about 70 degrees, clear blue skies. But even at 70 degrees, if you're standing out in the sun, it can get really hot. And Jesse was just dripping with sweat, but he was able to walk back undercover in between his solos. And poor Howie Schneider was on the keyboard, stuck in the sun. Couldn't move away. So after that very first concert, we put up an awning so that our musicians were at least under the shade. And we have done 5 complete seasons. The season runs now from January through the end of March or early April. We've put on 67 concerts in the Jazz in the Gables series. And I don't want to jinx us because we are going to have a 6th season coming up next January. In 67 concerts, we've lost fewer than 15 minutes total to rain.
Oh, wow. Great record.
It is a great
Something
record.
Something magical happening there. Rick Katz, in our final 2 minutes, we want to find out about the MJC Voices.
Well, the legendary founder of the jazz vocal program at the University of Miami Frost School of Music. It wasn't Frost back then. Larry Lappin, the father of jazz vocal education. And when I say the father of jazz vocal education, he started the very first college-level degreed program in jazz vocal performance.
An extraordinary and educator.
Larry retired from the University of Miami 2 years ago. He was one of our founders, and he and I sat down for lunch shortly after his retirement, and I said, Larry, how would you feel about forming a community-based jazz vocal group? And he leapt at the idea, and so we've got MJC Voices, a group directed by Larry Lappin. That's just wonderful.
So we will enjoy the MJC Voices in your future concerts. Unfortunately, we've run out of time with the executive director of the Miami Jazz Co-op. More info, of course, at miamijazz.org. And you're going to want to go on there and find out about the 5th birthday Mega Jam coming up this Monday on the 15th. Now their fifth birthday benefit concert, you're glad to say, Rick, I'm sure, is sold out.
Yes,
and,
it is.
This is an incredible fundraiser that will take place on the 18th, but go online to find out more about the Miami Jazz Co-op, a very successful jazz support not-for-profit vehicle, and congratulations on this marvelous success.
And thank you for your being part of the founder group and all of your support, Ed.
Thanks to Mr. Rick Katz, Executive Director of the Miami Jazz Co-op. More info, miamijazz.org. Stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment.